Hello and welcome to a brand new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And with us this week, we have our very good friend Dan coming back on for his annual appearance on Five and Out.
It's me. I've returned. Like the seasons.
But you wait until four seasons pass and then you show up again.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
But he is going to help us break down our top five for a very special top five, which is, Steve?
We're going to be doing, as we mentioned later, how ironic that we do a trio this week because we are counting down our favorite duos.
We're very smart.
Very intelligent.
I'm happy to be here for this idiocy.
But we got a lot of show to get to. Let's stop wasting their time. Let's start the show.
If you have an ad up there, it's like 5'2", 190 pounds. You're like, all right, this is real. Like, no one is ever like, let me tell you about myself. 5'2", 190 pounds. And I love it.
And I love every inch, every pound, every ounce.
It's always like 190 pounds, 5'2", 3 kids. Last one wrecked it. You want to get in here? Because I'm available. And it's like, this is what Craigslist is for.
It's like, I got nuggets and Jim Beam. Let's do it.
Hope y'all like Aldi's based food. That's all I got in the house.
Dan, if you can keep your microphone right where it is right now,
right here?
we just want to hear your dulcet tones.
Oh, good. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Craigslist singles is a.
Yeah.
I feel as if it is a Pandora's box in there. That yeah. I feel like I've never really experienced.
I feel like we are in a spot like we are in our lives. The only thing we actually use Craigslist for is like occasionally sales. Like,
yeah.
I need to buy like a chair.
Sure.
A thing under $100.
I'm trying to find a video game for cheap.
I personally never have done anything on Craigslist for over $100 because I'm like, I want, if I am being defrauded,
yeah,
to not be like, damn it, I should have known. Craigslist?
And I did my retirement investments through Craigslist, actually. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Really diversified.
Absolutely.
Procter & Gamble. That's all it is.
Because that's Procter actually how you have to invest in Procter & Gamble stock is through Craigslist.
Okay,
at least that's what they told me.
Yeah, it's true. It's the only way in. NASDAQ? No. That's a locked door.
No.
You want to get in through there. And I always, I don't know, it's always so weird because there's so many tabs that I haven't even looked at.
Yeah, Craigslist, there's a ton of stuff in there, man.
Yeah.
There's a tab for everything.
There really is.
Because there's like, I think there's like four main tabs. There's like personals. I think that's a tab. There's personals. There's like
jobs.
There's jobs. There's for sale.
For sale, yeah.
And then for like housing.
Oh, that's right.
Is there a classes one?
No. No, I was going to say classifieds. But
classified. Okay. Is that the same as personals or no?
Well, in newspaper world, that was like.
Yeah.
I mean, everything back there. That was for sale. That was for rent, this, jobs, whatever.
Yeah.
I've actually, now that you say that, I've looked for jobs on Craigslist.
Yeah.
I've looked for apartments on Craigslist.
I've done the same.
Actually, I think I've gotten an apartment through Craigslist.
I think I got the lead on an apartment for Craigslist.
I've purchased things off Craigslist.
Yeah.
Mostly video games. I've purchased video games like two or three times.
I've bought and sold furniture.
No furniture, but I've sold a cell phone.
There you go.
Well, now all you need to do is hook up on Craigslist.
Now I just got to hook up with that 5'2", 190 pound slab of love.
I think slab of love is the...
The username, right?
Is the love measurement. there's a ton of love. But that one's a slab of love.
And you just take little... And as you go through your time with the slab, you just take little cuts off the slab.
Yeah.
You don't take it. It's just like it sits there and you're like, I need a little.
You just wear it away.
A little bit here.
Who do you think would ever describe themselves as like a rucksack of love?
A rucksack?
Yeah.
You, actually.
Maybe I'm the rucksack of love.
Yeah.
Sturdy. Strong. You can put things in me.
Where is my phone? Dan, come here, please. I feel like a rucksack of love is kind of like an outdoors-ish kind of person, or like a drifter-ish dude.
Yeah.
Dan, both counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan hasn't had a home in years.
No. I know. Living on them streets.
Well, you should look on Craigslist.
No, just personals for me.
Wes, have you ever used the Craigslist?
I mean, I've clicked around in there a few times.
you've got several diseases.
Zipping around in the crevices.
But it's like a black hole, man. I'm like, what is this? Oh, and I just get sucked in more and more. Like, oh my god, 18 video games for $1.
Yeah. Like, oh, this sounds legit.
Yeah, no kidding. But no, I never got anything off of Craigslist before.
I almost bought some bad concert tickets off of Craigslist before, too.
Was the concert in of itself bad, or were the tickets bad?
No, they were fraudulent tickets.
Ah.
But I was then alerted to the shamockery and did not purchase them.
Was it over $100?
I don't think so. It was several years ago.
Oh, I was going to say, because I maybe would have bought them. That's under my limit. Yeah, that's under my fraud warning limit.
Yeah, it was under the 100 mark, I believe. Man, but Craigslist, you know what? It's too bad because Craigslist is one of those things that, in its core concept, is such a good thing. Oh, a free market. Like, it's basically just a message board, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Free to use. We're not going to charge you a commission. There's not an auction. It's not this. And you can do it in a low. It's like, wow, that's awesome.
And
this
that is
great.
That is also the main problem with
it. That is exactly the problem.
The best part about it is the main problem with it. It's free. Anyone can use it. Oh, my God, it's free. Anyone can use it.
Everyone uses it.
No, why
they use it in
done
the
this?
Worst ways.
Yeah, they do. I watched the Craigslist movie. That like thinks Craigslist Joe.
I've heard about it, yeah.
The guy goes and just decides to live off like the company or the friendliness of strangers for like a month. And he gets rides places and he sleeps places just by Craigslist. And he's like, if I can't find a place on Craigslist, I sleep in the street. And he's like, if I can't get a ride, I walk. But he's like, I'm going to eat all my meals. He's like, he did everything via Craigslist and like was able to do it for a month. And I'm like, that's cool. Like, that's a wonderful thing. But
it's a total... I mean, he's pretty much the definition of a freeloader.
Yeah,
but
I know. It's,
yeah.
But hey, good on
him.
Sure.
If you say to yourself, I'm going to... Like, I think everybody's entitled to, like, a month of just freeloading.
Do you think that?
In their
life? You've had that thought?
In their life? A month of just, like, freeloading? Yeah.
Isn't that childhood?
Isn't that, like, 13-ish years? Of
Man, y'all didn't work enough when you were... You know.
I guess not.
Yeah, I got... Wait,
okay. Now, when you say a month of freeloading, like, does that mean... Like, I'm unemployed. I'm taking time to myself because I did that. Not a problem. But, like, straight up, I'm not buying my food. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm not paying to live anywhere. Like, that seems straight up. Like, he is a professional freeloader.
Well, I think it wasn't a professional freeloader because he only did it for a month. I think if you go ahead and you go, this is a choice I'm making, that this is the way I'm going to live my life, that's an awful decision. But if you say, I'm going to take a month and I'm going to find myself or like do something interesting and I just want it to come to me.
That's fine, but I don't consider that free. I'm still going to pay for my meals and...
Yeah, I don't consider that. I guess the problem is I don't consider that interesting. My what would be cool is, for example, my girlfriend's sister's husband biked from...
You don't even know this person.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. But he biked
so far away
from Florida to New York. And he basically lived off the land and lived off strangers' kindness. And it was awesome. He had a blog that went crazy with all these people just volunteering to house him and feed him. And that's awesome.
One of his good friends, also not a real person. You don't know him. He just basically, he went through kind of like a messy breakup sort of thing. And he basically flew across the country for a week and just went camping in the woods. He's like, you know, and that's cool. And I agree with finding yourself and doing, cool, man, awesome. I don't consider freeloading, though. But I think it's a total different thing.
I honestly think it's semantics, because freeloading to me is that you're just free to place your load wherever it may be.
Oh, so you're ejaculating.
You can do that, too. If you're in someone's house and you're like, hey, can I rub one out real quick? And they're like, sure.
This is
freeloading.
This is what I disagree about. To me, freeloading is a monetary thing. Freeloading means like you are not paying anything. So if I fly myself across the country, rent out a camping area, bring my own supplies, purchase food, and then I have my vision quest, if you will, that's not freeloading. That's a journey for yourself.
But I think that's...
But, like, bumming a car ride halfway across the country on, like, your friend's dime, and then having them buy you snacks, and then, like, illegally sleeping in someone's backyard, sort of, like, that's freeloading.
But I think I can agree with that. But if you're saying that my presence, like, that if you're saying I'm going to tell stories and keep these people entertained, and you're going to work for it, and, like, you're going to do something interesting for it, and that's what I think it is. I think if you just go, feed me, house me.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
that's awful. But if you say, hey, man, can I bum a place to sleep? Could I do that? And then I'm going to be on my way tomorrow. And if you want, when I see you next, I'll have, like, grand bold stories.
And I will bring my lute and sing to you.
But that's, like, there's that
that's
romantic aspect of it. I'm thinking, like, traveling minstrel.
Yes,
it's like,
I was thinking,
all I have is my guitar and my pleasures.
I was thinking a homeless man.
Me too. Yeah. I was thinking the unromantic, like, that slab of rucksackness
just ejaculating everywhere.
I put my load where I won't.
There's a homeless guy in New York that I recently saw a piece on that he goes into CVS's and Walgreens and he like fixes his hair with hair products. And he has like two or three outfits. And he just has sex with girls like three or four times a week in order to shower. But he lives on the street. If he can't hook up with a girl, he just goes back and lives on the street. And he's got, like, a debilitating alcohol addiction. But for a party scene, for party girls, they're like, this is normal.
See, I feel like the problem with this is the only problem with that strategy. The only problem.
It's the only hole I can find.
Is if this guy goes, let's say, 3 days, no hookup. That means 3 days, no shower. And then I feel like that is a slippery slope at that point of hygiene versus sexual attraction.
But I figure at that point you're like, I'm going to the Y and I'm jumping in the pool. Like,
I'm finding a hose.
I obviously don't know the logistics of what this guy is doing, but that, even to me, that's more freeloady.
Totally.
Than saying,
not freeloady. That is more prostitute-y.
Yeah, but to me, that's worse than a guy going, hey man, ain't got no money, don't want to spend none, want to hang out. Because that, to me, is like, yes, this will be a fun story. Rather than, I assume you have a good job, but you're actually homeless and using me for a bed.
Yeah, much, much more deceptive.
Yeah, and I don't like it.
Sorry, I just thought of this. It has absolutely nothing to do with what we're just talking about. But Wesley.
Yes.
I'm about to drop a bomb on you.
Oh, please don't.
A 2X bomb.
Oh, okay, what's up?
2X platties this weekend, bitch!
What's up, buddy? Yeah, how'd you do that, man?
I have no idea what this is.
Yes, you do. Platinum trophies on PS3.
Oh.
Yeah, remember
I have not played PS3 in 2 years.
I know, man. Actually, I want to ask you. Let me hold table this for one second. I specifically wanted to ask you
platinum
about
trophies.
This. I specifically wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. So, Wes, I finished up the second XCOM platy. I did Enemy Within.
Very nice.
I had to beat the game without adding any troops to my squad. It was only 4 people the whole game through.
Oh, wow.
Did that. And then I platted Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
Yeah, you did.
And let me tell you, Dan, you're giving me that look like, oh, you're playing children's games.
Those are fun.
That shit is legit.
Yeah. No, I was giving you the, why have you not invited me over to play?
Because I hoarded it all to myself. Awful. I actually got the game so Holly and I could play it together. She has yet to play it, and I platinumed the game.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It is the best Lego game I've played, and I've played several of them, and it's awesome.
It's Lego Batman, and I was like, this is a legit Batman game.
It's good, man. It is. So I platied both of those, bringing my total. Now my platinum trophies can legally drink. It is 21 platies in the book.
Nicely done, my friend.
Congratulations. That's an achievement.
It is. Thank you. Pun understood. So Dan and I used to play quite a bit of PS3 together, specifically NCAA football.
Perhaps the most hilarious moments.
Honestly, one of my
My life occurred during those days in the Nook playing video games for, I want to say, 6 or 7 hours a week.
Oh,
easily.
Minimum. Yeah. I thought you were going to say a day. I was like, that's a bit much, but for a week, that's way low.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's been almost 2 years since your PS3 died.
Ah, wow. I was just saying to Wes as I walked in, he's like, it's been a while since I've seen you. I was like, really? Really? Because I felt like I had seen Wes like literally a week ago. And I have probably not seen him since June.
And that's not last week. If you're listening to this podcast, that was not last week. This is in mid-September.
Yeah, yes. It is currently September 23rd, and I thought that I had like recently seen Wes. I have been just atrociously busy.
So you've been filling your PS3 time with making them sweet dollars.
With real world. Sort of stuff. Where
and
I'm
do
like,
you miss it, man?
I recently, because I'm now like, you know, the second job is like kind of weaning off, and like this Saturday is my last day at the second job, and I'm, you know, I'm not rehearsing as much for the shows, and but I have another show. I have two more shows after this, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have some time off. And then I was like looking at the PS3, which is still underneath my television. Has not moved. I moved in to this apartment over
and
a year ago.
You set up your broken PS3.
And I set up my broken PS3, and I haven't touched it. I haven't turned it on. And I looked at it, and I was like, that should be a PS4. And I went, oh, I've made a mistake.
Oh, why do I say these words?
And I haven't done it because I've been logically fighting myself.
Well, there's no reason to buy it right now.
But this is, it's honestly, this is the same thing as like when you know a relationship is over. Because you find yourself like trolling on the internet, like looking at other, like you're like, oh, I wonder what this would be like. And that's what I've been doing with PS4. I've been like, ooh, Assassin's Creed, Black Flag. You were great when you came out for PS3. I always wanted you back then, but now I have time for you. And I've been like, I literally watched cinematics from Assassin's Creed Black Flag for like 20 minutes. Just the cinematics.
You're looking at PS4 porn. You realize
I'm looking at PS4 porn. I am. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking at PS4 porn, and it's like amateur stuff, so I'm like, I can really think about that. And that's what I'm doing.
I can really.
I can imagine myself in that situation. I'm like, I'm that grainy. And it's like... And, that's what I've been doing is I'm like, I think I'm going to get a PS4. And I logically should not get a PS4. I'm still too busy for a PS4.
But you do know that the new Arkham game will be on PS4 where you can drive the Batmobile around Gotham City, right? Did we just seal it? Did we just seal that deal? It's not going to be out, I think, until early 15. But.
I think I'm honestly like waiting for the price drop.
Oh, you're going to be waiting a while.
I don't think I will.
I think you will.
I'm waiting for... Sorry, I didn't mean to say price drop. I'm waiting for a bundle. I'm waiting for a holiday bundle.
Oh, okay, sure.
Which is definitely in the process. So, That's in the picture.
Wes and I have talked about it off air before, where I was like, man, I love playing video games, and I have my whole life, and it's not some sort of like shameful thing to me.
No.
But I was like, it's like, man, you know, like... In a perfect world, if I were to just like sell my PS3 or whatever and be like, that's it, I'm giving up video games. I'm done. Which won't happen.
Yeah.
I was like, what would I, how would that affect my life? What would I do? And essentially you did that. Maybe not by your own choice so much because it died and you just didn't replace it. But,
yeah.
So, I mean, how did, was there a time when it was, you know, going through, like it was tough, you really want to play a game and you just couldn't and you just had to deal with it? Or were you like, I don't really care?
I think the first like week or month was a lot of muscle memory. Like I would literally sit on the couch and like, press the PS3 controller to like turn it on and it would go beep, beep, burr, 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 and do the red light. And I was like, oh, that's right. I don't have that anymore. But then after a month, like I moved the controller away.
Very
from,
good.
Like, nicely done.
But like instead of keeping it on like the coffee table, I like moved it up to the system. And then I was like, well, I
surely
don't
can't
want
get up.
To reach. Like I don't want to do that. And so then I was like, oh, I don't have a PS3. And then I was like, oh, but I still want to watch a movie. I'm like, oh, does anybody have a DVD player? Because it's cheaper to like, and my roommate at the time had a DVD player, and I was like, oh, I'll just plug the DVD player in, or I'll plug the Blu-ray player in. They got a Blu-ray player. Oh, this is easy. Well, I can't play video games, but I can do this other stuff. And so it was like a nicotine patch. And then I just don't watch movies anymore.
So you weaned yourself off.
I unintentionally weaned myself off. Oh. I just got so busy, and like stupidly busy. And the terrible thing is like the bike now, having the bike.
For those who don't know, Dan just purchased one of his lifelong dreams of a motorcycle.
12 years.
Oh,
12
I thought you
dream.
Were talking like a Huffy 10-speed.
No, that's what I wanted to clarify. When he says he has the bike, it's not like, yeah, man, I got this sweet Schwinn. He's got himself a big boy motorcycle.
And it had been cutting my commutes in half, and I, you know, the CTA was almost a non-factor for me. It was non-existent. I didn't need it anymore. And then I dropped it on Lakeshore Drive. And it's nothing terrible. It's nothing like unfixable. But I'm like, okay, I'm out of commission for a couple days because my shifter's broken. And going back to that life of
the,
like,
the bus
the CTA,
and mass transit,
which I never minded when I was doing it. I was always like, oh, yeah, I guess it's a little bit, but you get used to it. You get unused to it so fast. And it's the worst. And I hate it.
I hate my life.
I literally went outside today and was like, I can probably fix this myself. And like, I've never fixed a motorcycle. But I was like, I can fix this myself.
I have to fix it myself.
But I have to. Like, I really have to. I have to get back on the bike. Not because I'm like, oh, like, hey, get thrown, you pick yourself back up again. No, because I don't want to have anything to do with the CTA anymore. And I want, literally, I did the math, I get another 6 hours of my life back every week by having my own personal form of transportation over the CTA.
And that's why you need a PS4, to fill those 6 hours of your life.
That's
and
correct.
That's kind of the math that I'm doing, is I'm like, but those 6 hours, what am I doing with them? I was like, well, I'd spend more time at home. Doing what? Not exercising.
Certainly not.
Good
not
God
eating
sir.
Better.
Heavens no. Not cooking clean meals for myself. No, I'd throw some, you know, yobagoya in the fridge, which I guess is how you prepare it. Yobagoya. I've been watching The League on Netflix. Netflix has done a good thing for me. And I just went, oh, what should I replace this with? And then the PS4 feelings came back.
Yeah. Just tingling.
Slow tingle. Starts in the toes. Okay.
PS4? Is that you knocking? I think it is.
You open the door. Hello? Hello?
Is it me you're looking for?
And you see it. You just see what you think is a shadow of PS4 going down, but you're not sure.
You're not sure.
And I'm also wearing like a long, flowy nightgown, and I chase it down the spiral staircase.
But the stairs never end.
No, I just keep chasing the shadows. And then someone throws me a Game Boy Advance, and I'm like, all right.
That's fine.
I'm like, okay, I'll do that.
So Wesley, I'm sorry to cut you off, Wes.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to briefly ask, were you a trophy hunter as well?
I was not a trophy hunter. I was never a trophy hunter. I was a story completer.
Okay.
That's what I was a big fan of. Like, I never needed to really... I think the first time I ever completed a game was Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I got all the 150 Skull Chulas and maxed out my wallet and did all that sort of thing. But me and my brother did that in 4 days.
Jesus.
Yeah, which
Christ.
Is just ridiculous.
We beat Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in 36 hours. First time playthrough, we beat it in 36 hours because we just played in shifts. Like, this is, to give you an idea, like, this is the level of extremity in my life, is that I'll do that and then I'll also go 2 years without playing video games. But I will get deeply involved in NCAA football. Like, I will draft, I will recruit for 30 years in that game. And bring a Division I, like, subdivision football team up to a national championship power and sustain them there for 30 years because I need to. I need to complete the story.
Sure.
And it's been weird. So now I'm, like, doing other stuff to complete the story. Like, I need to get a motorcycle to complete my dreams. It's like now I'm trying to unlock personal achievements and, like, personal.
I really wish that there were certain times in my day where I could just see, like, in the top right of my peripheral, a little bling, and it could just be a daily system as well as a lifetime system of achievement as well, where, like, to me right now, it'd just be like, you've reached 4 o'clock, 1 hour till you're done with your shift. Bling! Like, all right, one more hour and I get the platy for the day.
You've taken your dog out 150,000 times.
Woo!
Yeah, ow! That's a gold trophy right there.
And I think I'm the other way, where I'm just like, I want to read the end of the guidebook, and it's like, well, what's the boss battle? Like, what's the final boss battle?
Of your
what
life?
Is that? Yeah, of my life. Like,
no way. I don't want to know.
I don't feel like I'm wishing my life away. I'm just like, next thing. I'm like, I don't need to look around the corner for, like, more rupees. I realize I'm getting into the Legend of Zelda. It's like, I don't want to look around the corner for that. I don't want to do any of that. I want the next boss battle. I want to swing the sword. I want to upgrade that sword to the Master Sword. I want to temper that Master Sword. I want to fight Ganon. I want to do all that sort of stuff. And it's like, but you could find more potions in the potion shop. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
And that is Wes's life right there.
That's right. But you know the final boss battle is going to result in your death because the game of life goes on until it does not.
Wow.
So,
guys, holy shit, Wes.
That was 5, and I'm out.
Wes, that was great.
Mic drop.
You're welcome.
This is a severe mic drop.
Wow. Very well done. Wes, I mean, that's like $1 million idea just in speech right there.
In quote form. It's $1 million quote.
And speaking of $1 million, no, it's not. This is super embarrassing, but... I thought it was fairly comical, so I thought I'd bring it up. Do you guys remember the time in your life when you used to get awkward random boners?
Today?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the percentage of real boners versus awkward random boners.
Oh yeah, and it's 99% real authenticated boners,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, but it comes with a certificate of authenticity. Yeah. It's signed by a commissioner of some sort. Yeah, it's there. Here's a little ditty for you. Last night, my lovely, lovely wife, for about, this is not an exaggeration, 10 consecutive minutes was making grotesque fart noises. just the She's blowing him on her arm. She's blowing just out of the mouth. Like, she was just going to town on awkward fart noises.
I just, when I think I miss living with you guys, I don't.
And then, just for an awkward randomness, apparently got a boner.
You know what, Steve? That does not surprise me. Knowing your relationship to
farts. Is that what
farts,
you're into?
You know what? I don't think I am. But apparently, I am.
I've been in situations where I remember specifically when I was in high school, we were in biology, and I was like, we were dissecting earthworms, and I was like, man, that earthworm's moving weird. What?
Why?
What? Why?
Why?
And I think the most recent, like, random boner I had was, like, I saw a woman on a bus, and I was like, oh, that lady's got a snaggle tooth. What is happening? And it was, like, simultaneously, and I can't remember if it was just like an O-raisin boner, or if the snaggle tooth, something in that snaggle tooth was like, she's dangerous. Like, you don't want her. She's dangerous.
You've never had me before.
You're right, and I don't ever want to.
Yeah, she's on the couch just going to fart town.
Yeah.
And she extends her legs like over my lap. And she goes, do you? She doesn't even finish the question. And she reaches, she goes, you do! And she has one of the most hearty laughs I've heard her have in a long time. And I was just like, yeah, let's all laugh at my boner.
Holly does occasionally have like an old Shakespearean innkeeper's laugh.
Yep.
Just like a heart, like fully, yeah, like a beef stew. Yeah. Like an old English stew.
It is warm. It fills the belly. It
fills the cauldron with mirth.
That's exactly what happened due to awkward fart noise boner.
Hey, we've been there.
Hey,
we've all been there.
And
out
like,
there,
truth be told, we're all like holding on to like our most awkward boner, and no one ever needs to know.
Oh no,
no one ever needs to know.
Oh, I've had far worse. Oh, this is just there's a reason I'm talking about this one, yeah. So that you think this is close to the bottom.
No. I'll tell you a little bit of the truth, so you think I'm telling you the truth. There's so much more.
Deep down.
But anyway, that obviously leads into what people had to say about last week's podcast, which of course was...
You gave me random boners.
Fart boners.
Fart boner time city. What? No, top five random boner city town.
That's exactly
that was
right.
The official name, top five random boner city town.
That's your Instagram, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, it's Craigslist handle.
Oh, good.
Do you
have handles on Craigslist?
I just recently switched it from Slab of Love.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's because that is taken.
Dan, we now that we're talking about erections and whatnot, we had channeled a softer side last week. We had done the most adorable...
Steve, softer, slower.
Just the most adorable and cutest animals. Sorry, I said that as if there was going to be more to it, but that was it.
That was it.
Wombats made the top five, right?
No. Have you ever seen a naked... like, never mind. This is even real quick.
I don't want to get back into this, but like I've seen wombats in real life, and it's like... It's honestly like it's your stupidest best friend you've ever had. And so nice.
We'll talk about wombats a different
Never
time.
Mind.
Sure.
Anyway,
so top five cutest animals from last week. We had some folks write in.
That's right. First of all, a man named Peter wrote in. He mentioned that we said it's a top five cutest animals in movies, TV, and video games. However, we did not have any from video games.
It's true. I didn't feel particularly inspired from the realm of video games on the cuteness.
Well, he wrote in his top five cutest video game animals.
Oh, well, here comes some inspiration.
Mm-hmm. His number five is the monkey from Metal Gear Solid 4.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember it.
I hate it, but I remember it.
I don't think he was that cute.
Well, there's not really a whole bunch to choose from.
That's why I'm saying it didn't make a top five. It wasn't just a video game list.
Sure. Okay, his number four was Chocobos. Huh? Getting cuter.
Yeah.
Getting cuter.
All right. I like Chocobos.
His number three is Carmelita Fox from Sly Cooper.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
His number two is Sam and Max. I never played a Sam and Max game. Have you guys?
I only know them from like Telltale Games, the poker game.
In
there. And they're fine. That's great.
Sure. His number one is Argo from Shadow of the Colossus.
I love Argo, but I don't think he's that cute.
I mean, he's not cuddly, but he's certainly a beautiful horse.
beautiful. He's majestic.
What is this boner doing?
Random video game horse boner. No, I think he's a majestic, beautiful creature, but I don't think he is cute or adorable.
I think we're splitting hairs here.
I don't think so. That's like
no,
saying a woman is hard. Sexy or beautiful. There can be a huge difference.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. A horse is very rarely, oh, so cute. It's like a pony is cute because it's diminished. Like, but a horse is a powerful, majestic thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard for a majestic thing to be cute.
Yeah,
agreed. I think they are mutually exclusive. A majestic thing cannot be cute.
I absolutely appreciate the top five coming of video game creatures, but I think that proves the point of why I didn't put one on my top five, because the others were just, I think, far cuter.
Sure, of course. But a man named Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Oh, Michael. He writes in his top five. His number five, I love this, is Snuggles Bear, the bear from the Snuggles commercials.
Oh, my God.
That's
Isn't
TV,
that adorable?
That is, that's my number one.
God damn it.
Jesus.
God damn it, that's good.
His number four is Hachiko from Hachi, A Dog's Tale. Never seen it.
No, me either.
Okay.
I trust him that it's very adorable.
His number three is Milo from The Adventures of Milo and Otis. Adorable.
Holly is super happy. She loves Milo and Otis.
Yeah.
It's a pug, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like a puggle.
Puggle. Now, I don't think puggles were even in existence when Milo and Otis came out.
Probably just a pug. Then.
Just straight pug.
Just a straight up pug. His number two is Gizmo from Gremlins,
baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Ooh, yeah. Gizmo the Magwai.
And his number one is Ducky from A Land Before Time.
This, sadly, I think he missed Ein from Cowboy Bebop.
I don't know
what
that is.
If you've never seen Cowboy Bebop,
I've never.
Ein, do yourself a favor. It is a corgi.
Really?
You'll do yourself a favor, Google Ein the Corgi when you get a chance. It is one of the most adorable dogs and one of the smartest dogs in TV. An old anime, Cowboy Bebop.
What was the number one again?
His number one was Ducky from A Land Before Time.
Is that the little Triceratops?
I think so, yeah.
God damn it, he's so cute.
He's so adorable.
Damn it. I love Triceratops were my favorite dinosaurs when I was a wee little boy.
Oh,
getting
right.
Awkward dinosaur boners.
That's right.
Yeah, Triceratops were my favorite.
You'd
whenever
make
they
fart
had the.
And then
whenever they had the Tyrannosaurus Rex, it was always that versus the Triceratops. It's like, you fucking get him, Triceratops. Yeah.
I was a Brontosaurus fan.
I like them as well.
A Patasaurus fan.
Yeah.
I grew up with that. I was like, if I were a dinosaur, that's what I would be.
Despite the fact that eats nothing but leaves.
I would be a very different type. I would be the most feared.
Well, thank you guys so much for writing in with your top five of the cutest, most
cutest. We always love getting your top fives because it always makes Steve and I realize there's so much more to the entertainment world than what we currently watch and play.
And we're just, I can't believe I missed Snuggle. Snuggle
I know!
Is so goddamn cute.
Inherently.
God!
His name is Snuggle.
Damn it. Very true. But we are very excited to have Dan here for this week's top five, which is going to be our top five duos.
I just realized when you first told me, let's get Dan on for a podcast. He hasn't been on since a year. I was like, oh, great. It's like, why don't we get him on for the duos? I was like, oh, great. Now sitting here, I'm like, Steve and I are a duo.
Yeah.
Why don't we get him on and we'll be a trio for the duo podcast?
That'd be... Yeah. You know what? Actually, Dan couldn't make it for this top five.
That's right.
When you told me it was movies, TV, and video games, I immediately was like, oh, damn it, because my number one all-time duo was in none of those things.
It's Wes and Steve?
No.
During five? Oh, damn.
No. It's Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
qualify for any of these things. Obviously, it's never been a cartoon. It's never been a movie. It's never been, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
It is to me, and I think I based the rest of my list off of this, it is the epitome of what a duo is,
mm-hmm.
where it is the exact understanding, soul to soul,
mm-hmm.
between two individuals. Not necessarily like an understanding like intellectually, but it's an understanding soul to soul. That's to me is a duo.
That's okay. Very, very deep. I just wrote down duos that I liked.
That are two people in the same thing.
That's right.
That seen them together?
Well, I thought of a couple different criteria of my duos that
okay.
I think one of them, a criteria could be that together they reach heights that neither of them could achieve alone. Or also the fact, so essentially they make each other better in that regard.
Okay.
And also sometimes the things that are synonymous, like in a way, if you were to say Calvin,
yeah,
like who the hell is Calvin? Hobbes. Do you mean Calvin and Hobbes? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, you don't know Calvin and maybe Hobbes a little by itself, but they are together. They are as
they
one.
They are a unit.
They are a unit, yeah.
We do have one caveat, though. Of course, Batman and Robin would appear on most of our top fives,
actually,
I believe.
I don't think... I'm glad we made the caveat, because it's a good example, obviously, yeah. The classic example of a duo.
Sure.
Looking at my duos, though, no way.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so one-sided.
And I feel the same way, yeah, because it's not an understanding soul-to-soul. It's Batman going, like, I am this thing, and Robin going, what are you? So they can't be that. They can't be that together. It doesn't work, you know?
But Dan, since you are our guest, why don't we start you off with your number five?
My number five is so very, very sad because it ended so poorly, but I'm actually going with Ted and Marshall from How I Met Your Mother.
That's a good one.
More so than Marshall and Lily,
mm-hmm.
Ted and Marshall are a duo. I just find that anytime I watch the show, like, I didn't give a real shit about Ted at all. The only time I ever cared about Ted was when Marshall was in the room. And albeit Jason Segel is a much better actor. He's very good. He's very funny. And he's funny with Allison Hannigan. She's very good. But they, as actors, elevated one another. And my most authentic like moments of laughing in that show were when those two were together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's a cool duo. That, to me, is my number five.
I like that.
They just had a really good chemistry on screen.
Yeah. It was that soul-to-soul thing. Like,
sure.
When they went on the road trip and they're singing 500 Miles, I'm like, yeah, I would be in a scenario like that with someone that I thoroughly enjoy. And that's, to me, what captured it. It's that soul-to-soul. That's what it is.
You touched on it very briefly, but let me just ask, spoiler-free, mm-hmm. How did you feel about the ending of How I Met Your Mother?
No.
Okay. Have you seen the alternate ending?
I've seen the alternate ending, and I'm much more satisfied.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't know there was an alternate
ending. There's an alternate ending, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's what you should have done.
That's exactly what you should have done.
Like, what were you thinking?
Why do you, since I don't know what the alternate ending is, why do you think they went with the one they went with versus the alternate?
I think because, spoilers for the ending. They had actually filmed the kids. Have you seen the show, right?
I've seen bits and pieces. I don't really care for it that much.
Do you remember the kids that Bob Saget's talking to on the couch? They filmed their scenes where they were like, this is obviously a story about how you love Aunt Robin. And they filmed them during like the first season. I think they were just sitting on that and they were like, this is going to be our ending. But then the series went on for 9 years.
The show grew and progressed and Neil Patrick Harris became a very different character and all the characters grew and became these unique individuals. And then they went, but that thing from year one still applies. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. And the ending that they had where it was like, forget the kids, because this was never about the kids in the
never
first place.
The
they
kids.
Even stopped showing the kids after like a while. They're like,
that's right.
Yeah, he's telling the story to these kids. Yeah, that's the basic premise, but no one gives a shit. And once you realize that, that like nobody gives a shit about your basic premise anymore, we just want to meet her,
mm-hmm.
like it doesn't matter after that. Once we meet her, we're good. We don't need any explanation. We don't need anything beyond that. Just meet her. And they missed bad.
Yeah.
The whole last season is a bad miss.
It's pretty bad.
That makes more sense then. If they're trying to use a season to get themselves from this show that's expanded to this big, wide, you know, berth, and they're trying to bring it back into this super narrow landing area again. Like, bring it in, guys! We gotta land on a 50-foot landing strip in the Bermuda Triangle!
That's right.
But it misses so bad.
They landed in Dallas, actually.
Yeah. They were supposed to land in Ottawa.
Yeah, it was not. It was not close.
Yeah, so that's my number five.
So, Steve, actually, you know what? I'll go first.
How dare you?
I know. My number five is Timon and Pumbaa.
Honorable mention.
Yes.
Honorable mention.
Quality.
This is just pure nostalgia. No, I'm not going to say pure nostalgia. That still holds up. This is when I was a child, though. This was I loved these guys. They just warmed my heart. Their journey, their friendship was just amazing to see. I would dare say that Timon and Pumbaa might have taught me a little bit about friendship.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Well, and also,
I befriended a pig and a really weird rat thing.
But it's similar to the Calvin Hobbes thing where it is Timon and Pumbaa. Yeah. It is not. Pumbaa is not having a spin-off show. No. You know, it's Pumbaa.
Pumbaa.
No.
No. We're not. We are not doing that.
It's interesting you bring up the spin-off show because that may happen during. I may bring that up during another one of my top five.
Oh, I have one. I also have one that is spin-off based. Perhaps they're the same.
Oh my. But that's my number five, Timon and Pumbaa.
All right. Okay. My number five, I'm going with one of my favorite comedies of all time. Mm-hmm. And this duo is going to stay on now for now, but within a year, this could very, very much change.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going, and I'm also fearful.
Lloyd Christmas, Harry Dunn,
yep,
from Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
I love Jim Carrey, and I love Jeff Daniels. I love them both for very different reasons, but in 1994, 95, when this came out, I didn't know them for any other reasons.
Yeah.
I knew them as Harry Dunn and Lloyd Christmas. And to get, like, if this movie were to be just about a solo dumb dude, we've seen many of those movies, and they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb and Dumber. And just the way that they built... probably the most quintessential example in this whole movie is that just when I thought you couldn't get any dumber, you go and pull something like this and totally redeem yourself. And then they miss the high five. Like, it's just a brilliant moment of each of them building upon each other's dumbness. And them as both Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels were phenomenal. But those characters are just, they got to be so fun to play, man.
But mm-hmm. I honestly think and I don't want to step on you here, but the movie that's coming out,
yeah,
I'm so afraid.
Me too, man.
So afraid. I'm so, in fact, bummed out because watching Dumb and Dumber is like watching Joe Montana throw to Jerry Rice. They're both in the prime of their careers. They're both excellent. They're both doing great jobs. And then this movie is like watching Joe Montana throw to Jerry Rice now.
20 years later.
When it's like, this was great. And you're still better than a lot of people. But I don't even give a shit anymore.
And it's just this... I don't remember the last time a sequel 20 years out worked. You know, not a reboot, but a sequel 20 years later.
Yeah, I can't even really think of...
What about Star Wars? I'll remove myself.
The only sequel I can think of that even did that was like Clerks 2.
Yeah, and I...
Yeah, and didn't work.
I don't think Clerks 2 really...
Didn't work. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but with that being said, my number five, that's going to be the boys from Dumb and Dumber.
Very nice.
Shaping my comedic future.
Dunn and Christmas.
There you go. My number four is The Tick and Arthur.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I didn't even think of it.
Because that is another soul to soul. It is a man who wants to be a hero so badly that he would quit his accounting job and just be a moth. And it is a man who is the embodiment of power who only wants a friend to fight crime with. And they work so perfectly. Like,
yeah,
they live together, they're roommates, they're like best friends. And I know Arthur is always constantly like mad at Tick, but no one else would have Arthur. And no one else would have Tick. No one else.
Mm-hmm.
So they've found the perfect people in one another and then fight the menace of Proto Clown.
That was only on for one season, right?
Three.
Oh, three seasons.
Three seasons.
Was it? Didn't they do a brief live action show too?
They did, and it was actually funnier than you remember.
I don't remember it. I just know it happened.
They changed a couple. They changed Deflator Mouse to Batmanuel, and they changed American Maid to Lady Liberty. And perhaps one of the best gags or like vocal gags, the guy's making a delivery goes, "Are you Batmanuel?" He's like, he's about my money, but yes. It's, what is his name? The guy from Lost with the eyeshadow? Nestor Carbonell. Nestor Carbonell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That guy.
Plays
by
my money, and it's so pitch perfect. It's so funny.
All right.
But
okay.
And I would actually say it works in the live action, too. So that's what helps me reinforce that is not just the Arthur and Tick from the cartoon. It's also Arthur and Tick from live action.
Okay.
They got it right.
All right. Good okay. pick. Nice pick,
nice pick.
Nice pick.
If I'm not mistaken, aren't they rebooting the live-action Tick with Patrick Warburton?
They had it with Patrick Warburton.
I think, aren't they bringing it back?
I don't want them to now.
I know. It's like that sequel we just talked about.
I would be fine if they rebooted it with someone other than Patrick Warburton.
Sure.
But Patrick Warburton did a nice job there, but he's too old now. And I love Patrick Warburton, but he's 50-something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him play a superhero.
Sure, sure.
I haven't seen The Tick, so I agree with both of you.
Cool, whatever, man.
You guys sound real intelligent on this shit.
Yeah. Well, my number four is from a show called The Americans. It's Philip and Elizabeth Jennings, of course, the Russian spies pretending to be an American couple. Why I picked them is because they work so well together, lying to everybody else, having those nice little moments away from other people where they can just be themselves. And when they go do spy shit and action shit, it's really, really cool to see because they play with your expectations. Where Philip is the person who, what's what I'm looking for?
Awkward boner?
Awkward boner town. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
The Hamlet of awkward boner.
he is more grateful about human life. He cherishes human life more. He will not kill the people. However, Elizabeth has no problems with shooting witnesses.
Wait, Elizabeth, that's Carrie Russell,
that's
right?
Carrie Russell.
That's Carrie Russell.
She's awesome.
She ain't got no problem shooting people?
No. She ain't got no problem shooting people.
Carrie that's
Russell,
awesome.
Ice cold, dude.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of want to see The Americans before. Now that Carrie Russell's killing bitches, I'm pretty locked in now.
Yeah. I was never a Carrie Russell fan. Never got into it. Never got. And I've always enjoyed curly-haired women.
Yeah, but she's Felicity.
Never watched an episode.
Neither did I. I don't care. I know that Felicity wants to kill people.
I'm aware of Felicity.
I'm aware of what that it was a show and she seemed like a sweet girl.
Yeah. Fair.
But yeah, I totally recommend it again. It's a fantastic show. They are great in it.
Where are they at on seasons on that now?
They are going to start season 3 in 2015.
Okay, so I'm not too far back.
No, definitely not. And I can loan you the seasons.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's my number 4, Philip and Elizabeth Jennings.
Okay, well, too bad my number 4 beats the shit out of your number 4.
Oh, God.
Because my number 4, I am going into the realm of the video game.
Okay.
And I'm taking Ellie and Joel from The Last of Us.
That's my goddamn number 2.
Woo!
Wow. I've never played it.
I've
been out for 2 years, man.
I know you have.
It's true. Yeah.
And Wes and I sing the praises of The Last of Us with great regularity, so I won't beat the dead horse here. But as we spoke about characters that you do not think about without the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Joel is an interesting character. Ellie is an interesting character. Their weaknesses and their strengths and their desires and they play off each other so beautifully in this game. It is unlike any other game that I've ever played because you essentially have two protagonists, but you really only play as one but you get the feeling of playing as a full person because of these two people are lacking so much in one, each of them in several areas that together they essentially make a complete person. And they eventually do complete one another and their storylines. And it's the way they work off one another is unbelievably good. And the whole game is fantastic. As we've mentioned a million times before, we love the game. We love The Last of Us. Probably the best PS3 game of all time. Probably. But
it's up there.
If it's not in your top 5, then you haven't played enough games on PS3.
Which I haven't.
You'll love it. It's great. So I'm going to go with Ellie and Joel as my number 4.
Okay. My number 3, this may seem easy, and it will. My number 1 is kind of similar to this, but it's just in a different class. Number 3 is Joey and Chandler.
That's my number 3!
Joey and Chandler, number 3.
I was about to make a Friends reference as a joke, and then you did it for reals.
No. Well, you're number 3 as well?
Yes!
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Do you want to make out?
Yes. To me, that was, you meet them at this point when their lives are literally the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are the same thing. They are both dudes that like watch Baywatch in slow motion in their apartments together. And one of them is like some idiot actor, and the other one is an idiot whose job you don't even know. Like the entire series, do we ever know what his job is?
I don't know.
Final few seasons, we finally know. And then he switches jobs.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, the first like 3 or 4 seasons, I'm like, I have no idea what you do. And it doesn't matter because he's Joey's friend.
Yeah.
And Chandler and Joey are the same, like, they're just the same dude.
Yeah.
And then they start going and changing and going like different directions, and Chandler always in the relationships, and Joey just nailing like post
everybody.
Office boxes, like whatever will have him. And then eventually, like, they still like live around one another their whole lives. And Joey develops this like weird affinity, like never really develops an affinity for Monica.
Oh yeah. I never even thought of that.
Like, never. Never, which is like such a good friend thing to do.
Yeah.
Because he like develops this weird thing for Rachel.
Yeah. That's
near the end. Because he's like, who gives a shit about Ross? But he develops, he never develops anything for Monica.
Sure. And to be honest, it's also 90s Jennifer Aniston. Everybody had a thing for
Ooh,
her.
But,
that's true.
But early friends, Courtney Cox?
Oh, no. No, I'm not.
Number one.
I'm not number one.
No, number one in that show.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think Jennifer
Courtney
Aniston.
Cox started off high, and I was like, Jennifer Aniston, there is something Olmec about your nose. There is something straight up like old South American god about your face, and I don't enjoy it. And then Courtney Cox like got weird skinny, and then she got like strung out, and then she like kind of got plump again. But
That's
it was
what
like,
happens when you marry David Arquette.
Yeah, that David Arquette is the equivalent of like a small drug addiction.
Yeah,
small drug addiction, not like the fun drugs, but like you're weirdly addicted to like dopamine.
It's like huffing glue sticks.
You're glue.
Not like real glue. Glue sticks.
Yeah. I can't really get too high until it's up the nose. That, to me, that's my number three, and I've said my piece on it, so.
Oh, well, of course, my number three is Joey and Chandler as well, because their friendship, I mean, you pretty much said it as beautifully as it could be said, their friendship is just so, I want to say, iconic for 90s TV, and for me growing up. It was, and we get to see them go through so much. Everyone's always worried about Ross and Rachel. Are they ever going to get together? Like, I couldn't give a shit after the first few seasons about Ross and Rachel, but I was throughout all 10 seasons, I was right there with Joey and Chandler. They had their fights. There was always there was like a couple mini arcs during the series about them fighting. And whenever, spoiler alert, they made up both times.
Oh,
I
no!
Know. When they got back together to being friends, like best friends again, that was the part where I cheered at. I couldn't give a shit when Ross slept with Rachel for the fucking 80th time.
Yeah.
But
doesn't it get summed up just the best that didn't they have matching lazy boys?
They did.
They did.
I mean,
they
I think
did.
That pretty much.
Yeah.
There it is.
If there is a truer, like, if you saw two men and you're like, yeah, these are our lazy boys, you'd be like, you guys are great. Like, if you knew those guys in real life, you'd be like, I'm jealous of you.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of the friendship you have.
Yeah, that's. There it is.
And they started that way, and they ended that way.
Yeah. And their chemistry together works so well because, like you said, he had the dumb guy, and then he had the smart ass. And when Joey left to make his own show, which I think lasted maybe a season and a half, it was terrible because you're just watching the dumb guy without the smart ass to work off of.
I'm gonna address that later on. That might be giving away a bit of a hint, but I'm going to address that show later on.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's my number three as well, Joey and Chandler. Chandler, bing, bing.
For my number three, we're going to go ahead and we're going to break that fourth wall a little bit. This is a different kind of duo. This is a duo from behind the camera and in front of the camera.
Oh! Is it? Can I ask?
Yeah.
Is one of these people, did they sadly pass away earlier on this year?
No.
Can I say, is it Ron and Clint Howard?
Damn it! It is Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese.
Okay. All right.
And if we can, just do a quick recap of the movies that they have been with one another.
I don't think we can.
We can. We can, damn it.
Okay.
We can.
No one's seen these films.
No one's seen The Wolf of Wall Street, for sure. The Departed, no one saw that. The Aviator, no way. Gangs of New York, I'm sorry, the Gangs of what? I'm not even...
what town? What?
I don't know what you're talking about. Those movies together. Scorsese... Very obviously, he didn't need Leo to elevate to the next level. Leo didn't need Scorsese to elevate to the next level. However, they both found each other, and they both elevated to a new level with each other. Leo was just fine in a lot of films. He was a very good actor. But you see, Gangs of New York, he makes unbelievable films with Scorsese. Scorsese, however you want to say it.
Scorsese.
And I think there are other great actor and director combos and other, but I feel like over the last, I mean, it's been like 10 years now. essentially they've been. I mean, Gangs of New York was what, like 99, 2000 or something like that?
Yeah.
It wasn't too long after Titanic.
And I. My main problem is I wanted really to love The Wolf of Wall Street, and then I realized I had seen Goodfellas, and so I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, I saw it.
I'm done.
But you know, it's still Scorsese.
It's still a funny movie, and you're like, oh, this is pretty good. But now when I think of Leonardo DiCaprio, I only think of him as Leonardo DiCaprio in Scorsese movies.
See, I still don't think of him as like Scorsese's like muse or like or his like errand boy or anything.
No,
like that.
Collaborators. But
I do.
But when I think of Scorsese, I still think of Raging Bull. I still think
sure.
of Goodfellas. Scorsese to me has things that I think of that don't involve DiCaprio. But DiCaprio doesn't have anything really that I think of him besides Titanic, which I guess is pretty big, that is like not Scorsese based.
The Beach, come on.
Hello. I understand where you're coming from. But I think Leonardo DiCaprio took how about Inception, by the way?
The exception. Inception proves the rule.
Also, What's Inception. Eating Gilbert Grape?
Never saw it.
He's phenomenal.
All right, I'll have to go visit these.
Actually nominated for an Oscar because of it. But
a lot of people get Oscars.
Well, he hasn't gotten an Oscar. He got a nomination.
A lot of people get nominations.
Okay, great.
I love how dismissive you are. Hell, everyone has an Oscar.
I think it was. Nomination. But think about how I know Scorsese is one of those rare talents, as is Leo. But Scorsese, you're talking about Raging Bull and Goodfellas, you know, mid '80s, mid '90s, and now we're talking about him mid 2010s. It's still working, and so I think Leonardo DiCaprio is a big part of the reason why Scorsese was able to extend his career
yeah.
to this length and still have very, very, very successful movies. The Departed is awesome.
Yeah.
The movie's so good. Gangs of New York is phenomenal. And whether you like it or not, Wolf of Wall Street still had a whole bunch of Oscar nominations.
A lot of
people love it. So they're still making work at a very, very high level.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I think they both bring out the best of each other. And not saying that they're limited by that, but I think they open each other up in that way.
I can agree with that.
All right. So that's my number three is Scorsese.
Scorsese?
Yeah,
and
the
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Famous Irish Scorsese.
Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio.
My number two, Mr. Thomas Pickles. And Mr. Charles Finster.
Yeah.
Oh, Rugrats. Tommy and Chucky, my number two duo. Because Tommy and Chucky is another one of those, you say Tommy, that could be a lot of things. Say Chucky, ooh, that could be a bad thing.
That's yeah, oh I know.
Tommy
who Chucky
and
is.
Chucky is only the Rugrats, and it is the soul of these two people, because as much as Tommy is an adventurous person, Chucky is the anchor, is like the conscience. And as much as Chucky is a really scared person, Tommy is the only person for whom he will adventure.
Yeah.
And they are together this complete soul. They are this complete thing. And to me, that's a duo.
They are a great duo. There's no doubt. I was trying to go through my cartoon duos as I was going through this. I thought some of the super classic ones. I don't think it's not anyone's top five. I thought like Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
God damn!
No, really?
No.
Oh. Like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck.
God damn it!
Oh, no! You are Daffy Duck,
it's
aren't
true,
you?
I am.
Damn it. And I did not think of... I did think about Doug and Porkchop, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good one.
But Porkchop's not... It's not enough.
And yeah. I love... Well, I also love
great,
Doug
though.
And Skeeter. But,
yeah.
But Skeeter, to me, is so one-dimensional. And Skeeter is fine without Doug. And I think Doug is fine without Skeeter. But I think Tommy, without Chucky, is like, where's my best friend?
Absolutely.
Like, is worried. Because, like, Doug always had Patty.
Yeah.
To worry about. And
yep.
Skeeter had his family to worry about, and like his little brother. But like Tommy only has adventure and Chucky only has fear and Tommy. And so you're never going to lose either of those things.
And don't forget Reptar.
Oh,
they both have Reptar.
They say he's a menace, but I love him. Sure, he smashes cities, but I love him.
Is that Reptar on Ice?
Yep.
Yes.
Reptar on Ice. I like to stomp and roar. Hey, I'm just a dinosaur.
When was the last time you watched Rugrats?
It has been a long time. These are things that I literally remember those song lyrics from 14 years ago.
I'm just wondering. I mean, I love Rugrats as well. In its prime, in our prime of watching it.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that's a show animation-wise that may not stand up.
Would almost be nauseating, I think.
Yeah, I feel like that's it's got to stay in the memory banks. I can't see it fresh again.
I avoid that stuff. If I have something that's like so close to my heart, I'm like, but I know that it's really just a nostalgic thing. Like, I went back and I watched The Tick, and, you know, obviously that's where the impetus to put Tick and Arthur so high up on the list was, because I realized that the show was written smarter than my intellect at the time that I watched it first.
Sure.
Anytime I've gone back and, like, kind of watched an episode of Rugrats, even past the age of, like, 17, I'm like, sure, there's stuff here, but, like, the basic thread of this is childish.
Sure. Mm-hmm. As it was originally written to be.
That's what it's for.
Sure.
But to me, it's perfect the way it is. I'm going to leave it alone.
It hits you at the right time, and see you. Yep. I love you. I love you, and I'll keep you as a fond memory.
It's a great... It's the ex-girlfriend that you, like, both went to college different places, and, like, you're friends on Facebook, but you don't want to bone.
Yep.
Sure, sure.
Perfect analogy.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to bone him.
So Wes, over to you, sir.
Okay, well, my number two was originally Joel and Ellie, but some asshole took it.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw in an honorable mention,
all right,
which is Mulder and Scully.
Man, do I love Scully. She's so hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, she's
something
so hot.
Something about her.
Absolutely something about her.
And like, if you showed me a picture of Gillian Anderson, I'd be like, all right. But then if you like showed me a picture of Gillian Anderson after a couple episodes of The X-Files, I'm like, damn, girl.
Ooh. Damn. Non-awkward boner.
No.
That's
a vindicated, authenticated.
That's an authenticated boner.
I got a certificate of authenticity. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
So why her and Mulder?
Well, of course. Like when you think of iconic, again, 90s duos.
And absolutely. Mulder and Scully.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah.
Fox and Dana doesn't have the same ring as...
No.
Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
But again, just the whole chemistry between the actors, the will they, won't they, that was not anywhere near as infuriating as Ross and Rachel. But yeah, I actually cared about, like, I wanted them to get together. Cause like, oh. But yeah, and then, yeah, the skeptic in Scully, then you have the believer in Mulder. It's just a great pairing on a great show that, for the most part, I feel still holds up today.
I disagree, actually, about that.
Really?
That still, I did not watch it originally. We were just talking about the...
Yeah.
We all agree Rugrats does not hold up.
True.
But it has a special place.
I don't think we all agree that it wouldn't hold up. I think we agree that we don't want to know.
Okay, that's fair. We are suspect. Suspect of it.
Yeah.
Yes. We believe it's not going to hold the same place it did at that time. I never watched The X-Files the first time when it first came out, but due to your recommendation, a couple other people's recommendation, Holly and I started to watch X-Files a couple months ago, tried to give it the old college try,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's on Netflix, and it does not, like, technologically hold up in the way, and it's...
Sure.
And also, I feel like storytelling, it doesn't either, that, like, you have three episodes of, like, meh, whatever,
yeah.
And then you've got a really good episode.
Yeah.
Got a really good, and then you sit through,
probably written by Vince Gilligan.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then you've got two more where you're like, I don't even really care what the hell's going on. Then the next one's like, wow, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it, you know, season five, you know, they're just hitting on all cylinders, that sort of thing. But it basically through season one, and I know there's so many shows where the tagline always is, if you get through season one, they really find their groove. And I understand how that works. But at least season one, I'll say, on Netflix, does not hold up. In my opinion.
Sure. I know the effects are dated. And it does suffer from that. Like, some episodes, like, but you said it perfectly. Some episodes just like, I just couldn't care less about it. And some episodes like, oh my God, Bryan Cranston in the episode Drive? Phenomenal! But then, like, maybe the episode before it when, like, I don't know, there's...
There's a series
bees.
Of flies.
So many bees.
There are fruit flies on your bananas. They are from another world.
Syrup no, causes insanity.
Scully,
I don't even know.
It's the aliens. They brought the bees. I don't think so, Mulder.
Actually, you were right, Scully. They're just regular bees.
But you made good points, Mulder.
Honorable mention, Mulder and Scully.
All right. Brings me to my number two. As you were mentioning the great Bryan Cranston... He is going to be my number two.
Of course he is.
He and little Jesse Pinkman.
Oh, not Skyler White?
Not, you know, believe it or not, it's actually Walt Jr. Walter White and Walt Jr. No, I'm doing...
He's Flynn!
Mom! I know it's recent. I don't care. We've, again, we've talked about the merits and the glory that is Breaking Bad, as it deserves to be so. He's won a million. We just debated the, you know, the Emmy Awards he's won in this. And
he's won a million Emmy Awards.
Oh, 1 million.
1 million.
Aaron Paul's won 3. but we've talked about the glory that is Breaking Bad, but the thing that Bryan Cranston is the main gear that makes that whole show go. But it is not a much smaller gear that is Aaron Paul.
It was a gear that grew.
Absolutely. Considering they were going to originally cut him after season one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It definitely grew. And it towards the end, I mean, it is gear one and gear 1.1. If you, yeah. I mean, they're right there. I mean, there's so many other things that happen in Breaking Bad. There is the relationship, obviously, with Walt and his family, and Walt and then eventually Gus, and Walt and this, and Walt and that, and all this extra stuff that is incredibly entertaining and important during the show. But there is absolutely nothing in that show ever during the entire 5 seasons that is more important than Walt and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
They are always the most important thing that are going on, because even if there is something else that is like Walt plotting against Gus and trying to figure out how to do this, and Walt with Skyler and whatever, it always in some way involves Jesse. It has to involve Jesse. Sure. It's never without him.
Yeah.
And same thing with Jesse. Everything involves Walt.
They are each critical components to the other's plan.
And they're both detrimental to each. Like, they're detrimental to their lives, but they are absolutely essential in keeping each other alive.
Yeah. Each could have gotten away without the other one.
Yeah.
And each could have died without the other one.
Yeah, would have surely died without the other.
Yeah.
Guys, I just had a thought. How different would the show be if their names were Walter Pink and Jesse Whiteman? it'd be a very different show, I think.
I mean, there'd be at least a few different lines.
I love the alliteration, though, of Walter White.
Yeah.
I think you would lose some power with losing the alliteration.
Yeah.
It's like Walter Pink? They wouldn't take you seriously. Get out of here. With your blue meth.
So again, it's something we and the rest of the world has harped on about how excellent Breaking Bad is, because it deserves it, and it's that fucking good. It's so good. And those two are the reason that is probably the best show, you know, with arguments here and there for The Wire or whatever, over the last, 30 years, whatever you want to say. Ever. Whatever. It's right there at the very top of TV shows ever because of these two dudes.
Dan, why don't you start us off with your... Start us off. Why don't you start the beginning of the end of the middle of the end with your number one?
I'll just talk now.
Okay.
I'll just talk and see where that goes. My number one, and in fact, the more I thought about it, my number one with a bullet, is Niles and Frasier Crane.
Whoa!
Number one with a bullet. Having watched the entire series of Frasier within the last year and a half, I will say two things. One, I have never seen two people more confidently and competently play off of one another. And I have never more competently and confidently seen two actors share the same soul of their characters. They are each other's best friend and worst enemy. They are their only competition and their only companion. That, to me, is a duo. Frasier has almost no friends but Niles. Niles has almost no friends but Frasier, and they are both perfectly happy with it. Frasier has no real competitor but Niles, and Niles has no real competition but Frasier. Niles doesn't even give a shit that his wife really left him. He doesn't care. He wants Daphne. And Frasier, once again, never really wants Daphne. Frasier's kind of a horn dog. He like makes a pass at Daphne once, and once he gets shot down, he's like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. It's like, I'm cool. You're my brothers anyway. And you know it from season one. Like, there's literally no sexual tension beyond, like, the moment Niles sees Daphne. He sees Daphne, and Frasier's like, oh, yeah, this is done. This is done. And he, like, for the rest of the thing, like, he keeps Daphne around for his brother. It's like, not for his father. He does it for his brother. Not because he's trying to torture him, but because he knows deep down in his soul that's the woman he has to be with. Like, that, to me... That's two characters sharing that soul. And even though they're different sides of the coin, like one's the neurotic one, one's the, you know, one that's full of bravado and pomp and circumstance, they are the same soul.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to me, they are the best. And David Hyde Pierce, multiple Emmy winner, underrated in that role.
Right.
Underrated.
I remember specifically calling you, I think basically on a Monday and then a Friday. Yeah. And being like, hey, what you doing? You're like, watching Frasier. And I was like,
really?
Like, yeah. Is it on TV? You're like, no, I'm watching the whole thing. Like, where are you? It's like, hey, like, beginning of season two. How is it? Oh, it's good, man. It's good. Okay. Well, anyway, blah, 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 blah. I call you on Friday. Hey, what you doing? I'm just finishing up Frasier.
Yep.
Season two? No, season 10.
Yep. Like, it's done.
It's like, holy shit. What?
Yep. It's that good. They are that good together.
Wow.
Because Niles and Frasier, one, no one is named Frasier.
No,
and
nobody.
No one is named Niles.
Nope.
So that's another, that satisfies the, you don't hear Niles without Frasier. You know, you don't hear like Frasier and Daphne, or really like Frasier and Roz. Like, it's Niles and Frasier.
To be fair, I don't hear Frasier, period, anywhere except from you.
It's true.
From a call several months ago.
It's true. But if you do yourself the favor, you talk about how Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston are so good together, and one makes the other better. Right away, if you watch any Cheers, you're like, man, Kelsey Grammer's like kind of just holding back a little bit. Like there's some substance here. He's a good actor, but like he doesn't really have his counterpoint. Maris is his counterpoint, but he's defeated. He's beaten by Maris constantly. But then he goes back and finds his brother, and they are actually playing.
They spar.
It's not somebody knocking you out. It's sparring. You know, that's the real good enemy and friend is like
cool.
Sparring. So me, mm-hmm. My number one, Niles and Frasier.
You make a good Frasier pitch.
I know.
You sure do.
Love me some Frasier.
All right.
Kind of thinking about trying it out now, not going to lie.
It's of a sitcom, it is the highest recommendation I can give.
Wow. Okay.
For a sitcom is the sitcom Frasier. With no Cheers backing. You don't need any.
Sure.
What you got, Wes?
Well, my number one is Troy and Abed in my top five. Troy and Abed from Community, which Steve, you still need to watch.
I know. It's on the
also,
list.
Never get into it.
Fair
you
enough.
You tried it?
Tried.
Sure.
I loved them the best, though.
Yeah.
They, to me, seemed the cleanest, most natural part of the show.
Troy and Abed, when you first start the show, Abed is a social outcast, and Troy is his jock who wants to relive his high school glory days. But throughout the run of the show, they become so close, almost immediately, actually, like halfway through the first season, it stops being Troy and then Abed, and they become Troy and Abed. And throughout their friendship, they discover their own secret weirdness, and every single episode of the show has them doing their own niche adventures about aliens or zombies or whatever. And it's phenomenal. And when Donald Glover left the show to do his own thing on FX, it was really heartbreaking because they had a whole episode about him leaving and Abed's reaction to it and blah, blah, blah. And it was one of the few times I've been watching Community and it was like legitimately heartbreaking. And it's a very, very...
heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
Induced a stroke. It was so so debilitating.
It was brain busting, heartbreaking, liver squeezing.
my bile.
But yeah, so that's my number one.
Okay.
Troy and Abed.
Well, gentlemen, I'm very upset that this didn't make any of your lists, because it should. So I'm very, very confident.
Well, I think that means that this choice is wrong.
I
think so.
You know what? You're going to eat those words in just a minute, friend. In just a minute. I guarantee you will eat those words.
All right.
I bet everything on it. Which at this point is actually half a beer and $6 and some... And some, like, coupons to Jewel.
These are the things I have.
Well,
number
you're all in.
One, Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Sure.
You're cheating. But you're cheating, though.
I am not cheating.
But you're cheating, though.
Do you ever think of them individually?
No, I don't.
Do they raise each other to a different level? Are they not responsible, for at least for me, two of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Definitely one of the funniest television shows I've ever seen. And without a doubt, the funniest theatrical performance and soundtrack I have ever heard and seen. No doubt about it.
You're welcome, by the way.
I did not get dates from you.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, no, the first? Yeah, sorry. No.
This is my Christmas present. What are you doing?
No, sorry. You know, I had another friend offer me tickets, too, and I... So, yes, you gave my wife and I our Christmas present was to go see Book of Mormon the first time, and then I went to go see it again with my mom.
Which, honestly, it's probably a show that you needed to do twice.
I will see it a third. I will see it as many times as I'm allowed to see it. It's amazing. Book of Mormon is what we're talking about. The other two movies I was referencing is South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, and Team America, World Police. And actually,
if you
Orgasmo.
Promise me you'll never die.
Orgasmo. And Basketball are also very
really
funny.
And
then obviously South Park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is...
A comedic touchstone.
It is honestly so... South Park is one of these shows that is so big and so important and so culturally important that we don't understand it right now. Like, once we get to the end of South Park and it is over, we will look back and say, holy shit. Like, I still, like, I don't think any of us can truly appreciate what they've done until this whole thing. Until, like, they say, we're done.
Or until they potentially pull a Simpsons and make us look back and go, oh, what was.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But sure. Then we'll appreciate it. I didn't appreciate how good the Simpsons was when I was, like, 12.
Sure. Yeah.
But now I do.
They are, honestly, I think, you can kind of go through different eras and talk about great comedic, both like comedic behind the scenes and like, and you know, your Richard Pryor's and your Gene Wilder's on the on the front side of the camera as you go. But as the Mel Brooks and the, you know, the Richard Pryor, the George Carlins, of the last 20 years, there has been nobody more important to comedy over that stretch.
Yeah.
And social satire than these two gentlemen.
And it's so weird, I think, to agree with you now, even though I think you're cheating, to agree with you, it's so hard to do comedy as a pair.
Absolutely.
Like, for a long time.
And at such a high level for so long.
Yeah. Because when we think of, like, the great comedians of our time, we think of, like, Jim Carrey for, like, those 3 years when he was doing Ace Ventura. And we think of, you know, Louis C.K. now. And we think of Richard Pryor in the 70s and Eddie Murphy in the 80s and Farley in the early 90s.
Sure.
And, like, but, like, we kind of think of Farley and Spade, but it's, like, it was Farley's show.
Right.
But, like, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, like, even though I guess you'd probably give it to Trey Parker a little bit more, he's not doing that without Matt Stone.
No way.
Not a chance.
It's his best friend and his real life best friend and his real life partner and, you know, sounding board and, you know,
playmate.
Yes.
It's his playmate. It's the guy that he's like, you still want to go do this show? And he's like, yeah, I do. Cool, me too. Like, I think that's what it is. That's the thing to agree with you because, damn it, I think you're cheating because I wanted it. Because I think it's probably the best answer is it's them, because I can't think of any two people that have been more impressive together.
Yeah,
sure.
And for such a long time, basically our, at least I should say, in my like cognitive lifetime, they have been,
because it's been 15 years, hasn't it?
It's been at least 15 years. When we were in seventh grade, roughly.
Seventh grade. Let's see. I was 36. I was in seventh grade. So I was 1971.
You would have been 12 when you were in seventh grade.
So 97-ish? 97-ish for me then. So roughly 97, 98. So yeah, about 15 years.
Yeah.
That's when I remember South Park like South Park at that point had been out like maybe a year or two, but it was still like, oh wow, they're so raunchy. Like that was the draw. Kenny dies and they do poop jokes. That was like South Park at that time. Now it's obviously a very, very different thing.
I will not say that you cheated.
Because I didn't.
I just didn't even think of the people behind the scenes.
Yep.
So I think that we would be remiss if we did not even mention the comedic duo of Harold Ramis and Bill Murray. Fair. During the Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, yeah. Stripes.
Sure.
And, man, if only they didn't have that rift.
And I think that's the big part about it is why they wouldn't make it, is because duos don't break.
It's true.
Duos don't break. Like, they don't become two individuals that once were. Mm-hmm. They stay a duo. And, like, had they broken and gotten back together, I maybe would have said something different. But, like, all it was Murray expressing regret that he didn't do it.
Yeah.
One more duo that I left off the... Because I didn't want to have three behind-the-camera things.
Yeah.
So, also, Steven Spielberg, John Williams.
Ooh. Oh.
And, you know, I don't necessarily see them as a duo. I see them more as, like, collaborators.
Yeah.
More so than a duo.
I think of John Williams without Steven Spielberg.
Me too.
Sometimes.
So, but I just want to give them their little... Just a little... Not that they need one from me. God, John Williams has been nominated for 47 Oscars.
Almost as many as Bryan Cranston. But, you know,
he doesn't need me. But you know what, Mr. Williams?
Got an Oscar, so whatever.
There's a nod for you. And Steven Spielberg, I know this is what you've been waiting for. There's a little tip of the old hat, sir. So to review my top five... number five were the gentlemen from Dumb and Dumber. Number four, Ellie and Joel from The Last of Us. Number three, Leo and Martin Scorsese. Number two, Walter Pink and Jesse Whiteman. And then number one, the correct answer, Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Daniel, please review your top five.
Five was Ted and Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Ted and Marshall. Four was Tick and Arthur. Lovely. I still have them on my computer. I'm probably going to go back and rewatch a couple episodes.
Good.
They're great.
Good.
Three was Joey and Chandler.
Stole mine.
Well, I went first. Two was Chucky and Tommy.
The old Tom
and
Chuck.
Number one was the Crane Boys.
The Crane Boys.
The Crane Boys. Well, my top five in review, my number five was Timon and Pumbaa. My number four is Philip and Elizabeth Jennings. And my number three was Chandler and Joey as well.
Well, you stole from Dan.
Yeah, that's what I did. My number two, my real number two was Joel and Ellie, but honorable mention, Mulder and Scully.
Nice.
And my number one is Troy and Abed.
All right.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, if you want to write in your top five duos, because as we mentioned before, we can only watch and play so much of the entertainment world. Mm-hmm. So please write in your top fives here on oneofus.net, or you can shoot back to the fiveplay.net page. Leave a comment there as well. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com. Steve, what am I forgetting?
You're forgetting that Twitter and
Gmail?
And Gmail. You're forgetting that Twitter and Gmail are things.
Oh, okay. You're right.
They're out.
Okay.
And eventually...
Tweets.
We are going to be able to tweet and do Facebook stuff, but we do have the Gmail.
That's true. That's true. So
We've got that. I think that's all you forgot. And then we're the best. That's everything you
said. Yeah, that's right.
Well, this is a very good top five that I'd love to hear from you guys, because there are so many great duos out there. Like the Tommy and Chucky, they may not be a great duo to somebody else, and you may have another one that's really important to you. And I'd love to hear your specific top fives as well. Really good ones out there.
By the way, my real number one, because I am not allowed to do any Joss Whedon things, my real number one would have been Spike and Angel from Angel Season 5. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dan, thank you so much for coming back on.
You end on a Buffy.
And actually, if you guys have not checked it out before, I think my favorite podcast that we have ever done is the previous one that we had Dan on. It was the top five superpower
useless
podcast.
Superpowers.
I don't know.
That was fun.
I don't know what number that is in our podcast, but please, if you enjoy this podcast at all, you've not listened to that one, go back and check it out. That's probably my favorite one we have ever done. So
I think it's like number 25. It's like right around there. So
you guys have been doing this a while, I realize.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I've been on this before a year ago. What?
So Dan, thank you very much for coming out. And we promise it will not be a year until the next time.
We'll see. I'm pretty sure it's still June.
So as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
I was Dan.
That was five. And we're out.